There are so many things as humans that we don't really understand. There are mystic, magical, fated things, as well as otherworldly realms that we just can't comprehend unless it's through the journey of our own soul. I'm your host, Steffi, aka The Spirit Sis. I'm a psychic medium, astrologer, and intuition teacher, and I'm here to take you on an exploration of all things spiritual. I'm going to connect to source, give you divine downloads, and I want to keep you in the spirit loop. So here is the Psychic Scoop. Welcome back to Psychic Scoop, the spooky season. That was a werewolf. Are your ears bleeding? Okay. I could also do other sound effects. What are ghosts? Ooh, is that a ghost? Oh my gosh. No, ghosts are more like pulling up a chair and asking what's for dinner. At least that's my experience as a psychic medium. Anyway, hi, I'm Steffi, aka Spirit Sis, Halloween obsessed. A surprise to no one that I'm going to be talking about some paranormal instances and stories. And this is just my favorite time of year. And I kind of reflected on why that is. You know, I start celebrating Halloween in August. I could do it sooner if people didn't think I need to be institutionalized. But honestly, as a child, hearing these mysterious stories or even ghost stories, paranormal, it made me feel normal. And I know that's like weird to say, but I was seeing ghosts, you know, all the time. And I didn't know how to express it to people, but I felt it deep inside. And I gaslighted myself. I thought I was crazy, like for majority of my life. And then around Halloween season, you know, we're getting into witches and covens and ghouls and zombies and ghosts and all the stories. And even just seeing things on TV and film made me feel a little closer to that. And I've always been interested in it. Like, wait, do any of you remember the tale of the girl with the green ribbon? I don't know if this is like a millennial thing, because I swear this came out in the 80s or early 90s. And I would go to the library on recess, like everyone was out playing, and I would go to the library and just read spooky shit all day long. Like, that fueled my soul. And it wasn't just like Goosebumps or like scary poems. I would read like tales of the crypt and the scariest, spookiest stuff. And this story always stuck with me. And please tell me you also know this story, because I need to know. So basically, and this is from memory, so if I botch this, please remind me or don't get mad. So this love story about these two kids that, you know, fall in love, and this girl always wears this green ribbon around her neck, and he always says, you know, take it off, you don't need to wear that. And she says, no, you can never take it off. And they end up growing up together, and they get married, they have kids, they live like a long, successful life together. And the girl gets very sick, and she's on her deathbed, you know, later in her life. And the husband says, you know, can I finally see what's under the green ribbon? And she says, yes. And he takes off the ribbon, and her head falls off the bed and onto the floor. That's like the end of the story. I don't know why I'm laughing, because I'm traumatized. But do you remember that? Okay, I don't know if that was just me, but I swear that like stuck out in my mind. And it was I loved that story because it was so unique. And I think that's one of the stories that made me want to become a storyteller and write screenplays and books and things like that, because that shit was wild. I was reading that in the off season. Like, I was taking that home from summer breaks. I wasn't just reading that during Halloween. As much as I love those tales and those stories, and even like seeing movies like Casper, Ghostbusters, where there's a little bit more of a humor, I also liked seeing some of the darker stuff, because that made me, you know, again, feel normal. Like, I'm not the only person who's experiencing this. Anyway, today I thought it would be fun to mix my love of film with the paranormal. And I actually have a crazy experience and story that I've been dying to share. I have only said it once on another podcast a while ago. And I remember when I told the story, I was like, oh my gosh, I like trauma blocked. This happened to me because Hollywood is really traumatic for me as a psychic to go there. Like, it actually has so much portal energy. There's a lot of actors and actresses or or people that come to Hollywood that passed away that hang around like on those dreams that they had. And I feel it anytime, you know, I live probably like 45 minutes away from Hollywood, even though it's like, what, 2 miles away. It takes me an hour and a half to get there. But there is just an energy there that is indescribable that I think anyone can feel. And it doesn't feel great. And whenever in the past I've had to work at these old studios or even go to like Hollywood Cemetery, things follow me. I have to be really careful of my protection. I believe I told the story on this podcast before about how a ghost followed me home last year when I went to this theater downtown LA. So I just try to keep close to the coast as much as possible. And I have, just because having these sensitivities is definitely a little bit of a curse in a very concentrated area. And for those of you that know, you know, I grew up in Michigan, and a lot of my gifts I developed, you know, as early as 14 when I crossed over my first ghost. I had a lot of paranormal activity in Michigan, but my psychic abilities, like my mediumship, really started to take a turn when I moved to Los Angeles when I was 24 because of the concentration of energy in people. So, you know, there's so many people, it's very congested in LA, and that's all their loved ones trying to knock at my door and give messages. And that's why for the longest time before my practice, you know, I couldn't go out in public without giving a reading. And it was something that actually I developed my mediumship abilities. I'm very grateful that, you know, spirit has been so loud. And now I'm kind of swooping the pendulum the other way and being like, I'm just not going to leave the house for a while. So anyway, I digress. That was just a little background of why I feel drawn to Halloween. It is just so dear to my heart, and it brings out this inner child in me that does feel seen. So I wanted to share that with you. But today I wanted to talk about some of the most haunted movie sets. Oh, you always hear stories about things happening, but some of these stories, it's like, wow, you can't deny there was some sort of dark presence there. And I just figured something out that was a missing piece for me for so long. And I don't know why I never Googled it until now, but I was on one of the sets and I had a crazy experience. So I'm just going to start with that story because I feel like it's a really interesting story to lead in on. Also, if you're a little sensitive to scary, spooky, I just want to remind you that nothing can attract to you by listening to this podcast or by listening or tuning into spooky stories or movies. You're not going to get haunted or possessed by anything just by watching it. But with that being said, if you are sensitive and your mind runs and you ruminate and you get nightmares, that's just something to be mindful of. I understand. I'm that way too. And there's a little bit of me that like is scared but wants to keep listening and watching. Like that could also be you too. I'm not going to go through anything like super, super, super spooky, but I definitely am just going to account like real life occurrences of people that were on these sets and what they had to say, and give you my take on if it was haunted or not based off a feeling. But I have a feeling all of them were haunted. All right, so I'm going to take you back to 2015. Some of you do know that I, you know, have worked in the entertainment industry for a long time, actor and a screenwriter. For a long time, I was struggling because I didn't want to tell people I was psychic, so I didn't really know like what career path, but I just loved storytelling and loved healing people through words and film, and I loved playing characters. So when I was struggling to find like any acting work, I did a lot of background work, background acting. And I also fell into something called standing in or body doubling, which basically just means when the actor is about to film a scene, you actually have to light it properly. You have to have the camera angles all set up. And since these actors, you know, are very famous a lot of the time, they don't want to stand there for 30 to 40 minutes sometimes to set up the next scene. So they go back to their trailer and they have someone that is the same height as them, the same weight as them, the same skin color as them, stepping in to stand in or be their body double. And then there are even sometimes where, you know, the actor can't come to set that day, and so the body double will actually fill in on film for them, and it will be like the back of their head or their hand, their bodies, etc. First started, I was really excited because it was so, you know, new to me. I was so green. And people that were standing in and body doubling, like I was so, you know, envious of those jobs because you kind of did have to have an in to to do it. And also, celebrities are very, very picky about who they choose to be their stand-in, because sometimes you get someone that like wants to take pictures with them, or they're not respectful. And so that's why a lot of the celebrities or production companies hire people either like they know, or they hire people through an agency because you're represented. So I had just joined an agency that it was kind of like helped me get the jobs, right? Like they knew the connections, and I would just submit my photos and pictures and whatever. So I just started with this particular agency. I think it was maybe like, I don't know, 2 weeks, and I was just doing kind of light background work. And I think I stood in one time for a contestant on Big Brother, which was kind of interesting because it's reality TV. But anyway, I was just diving in, and my agent called and said, like, hey, you're being considered for a huge movie for Warner Brothers, but you have to go through a few screening processes. So I had to like submit a video and a photo, pictures of my hands, you know, like certain things I had to do. And I remember it being a little bit of like a more intricate process. And then they asked my schedule. They said, are you around for the next like 2 months? Because there's the possibility you might be flown to London and we would have to send you there. And I'm like, of course, you know, like 26 at the time, I had nothing on my agenda. Like I was barely making enough money to pay my rent. I was still waitressing on the side. So this was like such a big opportunity for me. And also I wanted to be on set. I wanted to be surrounded by like-minded creatives. And I just thought it would be so interesting. They didn't even tell me who the celebrity was. I had no idea. And they say, okay, you know what? We're sending you to set so you can do a test day, which also is not common at all for standing in or body doubles or anything. Like normally they just send you to set and that's it. So I go to Warner Brothers. The whole time I'm like so excited, like, gosh, Spirit, is this it? Is this my break? Which is ironic because they don't even look at body doubles or stand-ins like as real professionals sometimes. You kind of like schluffed in the back, but I thought it was going to be some like big aha moment where I was going to like meet someone and get my screenplays made, like whatever. So I'm like laughing about that because it's so the opposite of what it was, but still a great learning opportunity for me. Okay, this is getting long. So I go to Warner Brothers on the set. I'm walking around, you know, looking at the beautiful water tower, and I'm like passing the Friends set, and I'm just like absolutely allured by all of this. Like I grew up watching this and now I'm here, and I'm walking around set, and the second I walk into the stage where I'm supposed to be screen testing, I felt the most freezing cold air push me back. Listen, sets are very cold because there's a lot of stage lights and it gets really hot in there. So they run air conditioning all the time. So that's not like uncommon. But this icy cold air was familiar. It is a paranormal. There's just something about it where you feel like someone pushes you. I walked in and I'm ushered to set. I still don't know what set it is, but the entire set is like very bland in color. It's all muted, like diluted colors of like beige and like different types of like greens and grays. I don't know how to describe it. Like, you know, that yellow mustard color, but like take it back a bunch. So it almost looks like old wood. Like everything was just monotone like that. And everyone on set was absolutely horrendous. I mean, they're looking at me like, who's she? Why is she here? You know, and I was sent there by production. Like they hired for me to be there for the day. So I had no idea what I was doing. They sent me to hair and makeup. They sent me back to set. They had no idea why I was there. I end up going inside the set and I have to look into this mirror because I guess the whole point of hiring a body double was this one scene where she had to like look at herself in a mirror and then the mirror double of herself like popped out. I don't know exactly what it was. And I get a glimpse of the actress that walks by and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's Vera Farmiga. I recognized her right away. Then they started to dress me in her costume and they were saying like the meanest things to me about my body, about my weight, my hair color, you know, just like, oh gosh, your hair color is awful. We're gonna have to fix that. And like, you have like a bigger butt and she's, you know, skinnier than you and this and that, you know, just like making comments that are so not okay. But again, since I'm a body double, those things have to be very precise. And I just said to one of the people, like, do you mind me asking what movie this is? And they were kind of like, oh, well, it's The Conjuring 2. And I was like, okay, The Conjuring 2. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, isn't that a movie about possession? And I just looked up and everyone's face looked disappointed, upset. The energy was so like angsty. And it wasn't just like a normal crabby people had an early call time. Like there was an energy on this set that did not feel right. I kept on feeling like I was being watched. There were certain corners of the set where I was like, I'm hearing sounds. Like I was hearing high-pitched squeals. And again, I didn't know if they were filming a different scene. Something was off. And then they're like, okay, you got the job. I said, okay, great. Like here I am thinking, wow, this is going to be such a cool experience. But I also didn't know how I was going to deal with the energies, especially with how people were talking to me, and I'm very sensitive, so I was trying to like hold back tears already. One of the stage managers pulled me aside and like, okay, come on up to the office and we can sign your paperwork and we can, you know, we can move on. So, you know, they keep on filming. I go off to this on the stage. There's this little like steps, like stairs that walk up to this production office. And it was on stage. And usually now with my experience, the production offices are outside the stage, like in little like huts or villas, like at least that's how it was at Universal. And so this was really interesting. It was inside the set, so I could still hear them filming. And the entire time I'm walking up the steps, I literally feel like things grabbing at my ankles. I felt really heavy, like my weight actually felt like I couldn't walk up the stairs. Like I felt like I was being dragged down by something. And because at this point I'd already been open about my psychic mediumship, and I just had so much experience with ghosts and paranormal, I was like, oh, there's something on this set. And it did not like me one bit at all. And it started to attach to me and I could feel it attaching. And so I'm up in the office and this person was super nice. Like, oh, we're so excited for you to be on set. Like, thank you. You know, this is very exciting and you're going to come to London with us and you're available for the next 2 months. And, you know, thank you so much. Like Vera really liked you, you know, things like that. So super excited. I'm signing my paperwork. I give them all of my, like my passport, everything. Like I'm logged on to the gig. Right. And so they're like, okay, hold on 1 minute. We just have to verify one thing about your schedule or your pay, something. So he's like, just stay here. And he steps out. I'm sitting there alone. And the lights start flickering like crazy in the production office. That cold wind is back. And all of a sudden, I feel tugging at my right shoulder. And I look over my right shoulder. And all of a sudden, I hear in a very dull whisper, get out. And I'm not even joking you. I screamed. And then I covered my mouth really quickly because like on sets, you have to be super, super quiet in case they're filming. Like that could also get you fired. I just immediately started praying, like put my hands together and I started actually calling upon Jesus, like which I'm not that religious anymore. At the time, I wasn't especially. And I just said like, please protect me. Please protect me. If this set is haunted or like effed up in any way, like I cannot be here. If there's demonic energy, if there's bad energy, if there's paranormal, like please, 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 like protect me from this, if that's exactly what's happening. And, you know, within like another minute, I kept on hearing like, you know, like whispering and that hiss came back. It wasn't like a hiss like me. I just made it with my voice. It was animal sounds. I don't know how to describe it. And it sounded like it was in the room with me. The stage manager comes back and my face is probably like so white because he's like, are you okay? Did you want to eat something when you're here? And I just said, yeah, I'm going to step outside for a second and whatever. So he said, okay, yeah, you can break. Like, I don't think we're going to need you for the rest of the day. So I'm just going to like sign you out now and then you'll get your schedule from your agent, you know, when you leave. I said, okay, sounds good. I'm leaving the set. The second I step outside of the set, I felt like the energy didn't follow me, which was good. And I kept on walking back to my car and I was like, what is happening here? Like, this is so strange. And then I get a call literally as I'm still walking, like I'm in the Warner Brothers lot still, from my agent. I pick up and I'm like, hey, like, how are you? Thanks so much for the job. And he's like, yeah, Steffi, so they're not going to use you after all. And I was like, excuse me? They're like, yeah, they're just going to go a different direction. And I said, wait, did you talk to the stage manager? Because I just signed paperwork. We talked about my schedule. He just asked me if I could stay and eat lunch. Like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, I think I don't really know. Like, I think they might not do a stand-in or body double anymore. I don't have an answer for you. I'm so sorry. It didn't work out. And I'm just like perplexed completely. I almost turned around and said like, wait, why don't you guys want? I mean, I felt rejected. And then as I got into my car and I left the lot, I was like, you know what? I'm really happy I didn't get that gig because something was there and I just feel like I was protected. I mean, I prayed on it. I asked for protection and within like, you know, 20, 30 minutes, I was fired. So I moved on with my life, right? And I ended up working on like amazing films and being body doubles for really a cool people, which I can talk about it at a later date. But as I was going to film this podcast, I was like, I have to check if the Conjuring set was haunted because I have the weirdest feeling and I've never fact checked it before. I feel like maybe I kind of knew looking back that the Conjuring 1 might have been haunted. I don't know. And I just pulled up the Conjuring 2 page and I got full body chills. I'm going to read this. This is actually from Wikipedia. It says filming. Principal photography of The Conjuring 2 began September 21st, 2015 in Los Angeles, California, Warner Brothers Studios. Due to inexplicable series of events during the production of the first film, a priest from the Roman Catholic Santa Fe was brought in to bless the set of the sequel. And then I read on to say that there was a demonic figure with wings that was on set, that was like in the set design, and that the actress Vera Farmiga had claw marks all over her body and she would repeatedly wake up between 3 and 4 in the morning the entire time she was filming, which is obviously the witching hour. I guess creepy actual things would happen on this set and everyone said there was a presence there that they had to bless it multiple times. That's validating for me because I'm like, oh my gosh, what I felt was real. But how freaking crazy of a story is that? Ooh. And you know, the whole Conjuring is about possession. So sometimes like energy attracts like things. Not all the time, but sometimes. So that's really, really fascinating. Ooh, I got the heebie-jeebies. I also just read, too, that Studio 4 on the Warner Brothers lot is the most haunted stage on the premises. So that is apparently a cursed place. And reports from the location attest to the fact that there were sounds of construction like drilling and hammering under set of the haunted studio even when there was no constructions. Oh, that's so interesting. So other people recorded the drilling and the hammering. I was hearing more like hissing sounds, which is wild. Oh my gosh, I'm just reading another thing. This is like blowing my mind. Articles on whatculture.com on The Conjuring. Many odd things happened during the production. At times, a cold, strong wind was said to appear on set. I'm just reading this in real time now. That is literally the exact thing I freaking felt. Certain cast members reported feeling an evil presence in their homes during the time they worked on the film. The actors and the staff were seriously damaged in a fire. Oh my gosh. Oh, the hotel that the actors and staff were at was damaged in a fire. And the director said his dog would start growling and become nervous during his time of filming. Oh my gosh. Creepy, 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 creepy. Well, I was definitely protected by that for sure. And that was a story that I had forgotten about until I just remembered. And Spirit told me I needed to do a podcast episode on the haunted set. So I'm excited to share that story with you, even though it's so effed up. But again, it goes to show that your spirit guides, when you call upon them and your angels, they protect you and they protect you quickly. So I think that's where the lesson should come in here. Call upon your ascended masters and your spirit team, no matter what, if you're feeling unsafe or uneasy, and they got you. Let's talk about some more haunted sets, shall we? Let's talk about the Amityville Horror set. Based off of a true story. And if you haven't read Amityville Horror, highly recommend. Of course, I read it early age, like 14 or 15 in high school. I rented it from the library. And the book is really interesting because it's all about paranormal activity. This like married couple move into this house where husband went deranged and killed his whole family. So they made a movie about it with Ryan Reynolds. And apparently the same thing kind of happened where the crew was waking up at 3:15 a.m. at the same exact time. and they all felt like they were being haunted. But this is the crazy thing. Reports say that a dead body washed up on the set when they were actually in the middle of production. And they thought that was a bad omen. Obviously, like, how could that even happen? The woman, Kathy Lutz, who, you know, this is her story to tell, she actually died during filming, which a lot of people found to be ominous. And Ryan Reynolds told MovieWeb, "I think a lot of people make stuff up to sell their movie, but there was some weird stuff that happened. A lot of the crew were waking up at 3:15 in the morning, which was all when those atrocities in the house took place each time. I think it was a subconscious thing. You read the script and suddenly pop up awake at 3:15 in the morning." Yes, because the 3:15 is when the murders happened in the actual story. Ooh, yeah, that one doesn't sit well with me. So The Exorcist is also one that is pretty well known. It's a very, very, very spooky story about a young girl getting possessed. And it was made in 1973. I love this movie. It's a classic, but I have to admit I haven't seen it in a very long time. But it's a very iconic horror, but it's also an iconic set. The first one being, there was a lot of unexpected deaths that happened to the cast and crew or people they knew. So if it was like an actress's grandfather, the cameraman, you know, had like a child die, things like that happened, and there was 9 deaths. And then there was an actor who died a month before the film's release, and his character also died in the film. Also, the first set of the house burned down in an unexplained fire. Everything burnt to the ground except the one room, which is the actress Linda Blair plays Reagan, the one girl who's getting possessed. Her room was the only room that stayed intact, which is insane. And then Ellen Burstyn, she endured a spine injury on set in a scene where she's thrown across the bedroom. Some people lost fingers, like one of the crew members lost fingers while he was working on the set. So when The Exorcist was first shown in Rome, it was screened in a theater located between 2 churches. There was a big rainstorm with lightning as all the moviegoers filed in. A loud thump was heard, and one of the churches across the street was struck by lightning. OMG. Okay, I might do just one more because even I'm getting kind of spooked. Like, this is definitely really scary. And what's really interesting is a lot of these, I guess, hauntings happened on sets that dealt with like demonic themes of possession. I guess the biggest one that everyone always talks about is this film called Annabelle that was made in 2014. This is all alleged, by the way. I'm just reading these little articles about it. I was not on set. Well, I mean, one of them I can actually attest to, but I wasn't on any of these other sets, and I don't know any crew members, so I can't really say if it's true or not, even though I definitely feel in my bones that these stories are real and they are very haunted and there's something dark. But Annabelle is a super creepy horror film about an alleged true life account of a haunted doll named Annabelle. And it's based on a true case from Ed and Lorraine Warren, which is also the same as like The Conjuring, right? And it was a vessel for this like demonic energy that would display itself in the toy. So dark tales of a haunting and curse attached to the production were quick to follow the release of Annabelle. And amongst of this was the account of the director, looks like John Leonetti, who claimed he witnessed 3 finger marks appear along the dust of the window. And it spoke to him because they're 3 fingers and talons of the demon Annabelle. The director also said there was this giant glass light fixture that was being fixed by a handyman in the building. And the entire fixture fell on his head, like on the handyman's head. And in the script of Annabelle, Annabelle actually kills the janitor in the hallway by a light fixture falling on their head. Ooh. I think on this set too, they had a lot of like poltergeist type of activity. And by the way, poltergeist just means a noisy ghost, like a ghost that makes a lot of racket. And I guess before they had the set blessed, there was a piano that kept disappearing and moving from set where it was locked every single night. And the props department kept asking people where it was, and then it would just be in like a different place every morning when they came to set. And that's really spooky too, like who was moving a giant piano when everything was locked. Ooh, okay, well, are you scared shitless? Because I am. I plan to do a few more, and honestly, I just didn't want to. I was like, that's enough spooktastic for me today, even though I love it. It still is, like, I'm about to, I don't know, maybe counter this by watching like Halloween Town or Hocus Pocus, like a more lighthearted Halloween movie. Anyway, I know there's a billion more. And if you have a spooky story to share, a ghost story, or, you know, something just didn't feel right, like it was a funny feeling in your bones or something was off, you know, please write in to psychicscooppodcast@gmail.com. Hope you liked today's episode. You know, I always listen to what Spirit has to say as far as my content. And, you know, even though this was a little more scarier than normal, I really love sharing my stories. And Spirit has told me that I need to continue to do that. And that's why I'm writing a memoir, like an autobiography about my psychic medium stories, my spooky stories, ghosts, paranormal, how I developed my psychic skills, but also how that looked when I was dating, when I was like single and psychic. So there's parts of humor in there. And there's also like getting to the deep, you know, about the struggles of becoming a medium and coming out and those fears. So look forward to getting that out into the world. I've been working on it for a while, but I wanted to start sharing that and hopefully build an interest, because I do feel like it can make a difference to anyone who needs to hone their psychic skills, or anyone who's just interested in hearing stories. I got them for days, and I appreciate you being here. Thank you so, so much. As always, I really love all of the support, and you know I'm here for you too. Reach out to me, spiritsis.com, Instagram, spirit_sis, or TikTok, spiritsis. Love you. And just remember too, you are protected and loved. And even though sometimes it feels scary or fearful to listen to content like this, you are still 100% divinely guided and loved and protected. I just need to say that one more time. And I'm sending you a little Reiki through the microphone right now to hear it. Some ASMR. I'm rubbing my hands together. Till next time. Love ya. Stay spooky.